So that brings us to Proverbs 1:14. Proverbs 1 and verse 14. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Remember, these are the guys that are laying wait for blood. They're looking privily for the innocent without cause. They want to swallow them up alive as the grave, whole as those that go down into the pit. They want to fill their houses with precious substance and spoil people. And look at what they want to do. Or look at what they're inviting this unsuspecting fool to join them in doing. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Because Solomon's warning his son here about people that want to do these things. And this is one of the things that people that want to do these things are going to appeal to you. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. So let's look at that. First of all, the phrase, let us all have one purse. So in other words, what they're saying is, let's make all of our collective wealth commonly owned, right? We just have one purse, we'll put all of our money into one purse, we'll all be reaching into one purse and drawing out. It's going to be great. You know, we can all just kind of share our assets and from every man, how's it go there? Every man every man according to his need. So, right, whenever you need something, you just reach in and take it. And the rest of us, we just keep putting in there. And when somebody else needs, we just take out and give it to you, you know? People have been trying this one for the last 100 or so years. This hasn't worked out so well. It should come as no surprise that these men who secretly conspired to band together and plunder the wealth of others by any means necessary, including murder, are, you guessed it, communists. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. That's communism, where everything is commonly owned, right? The government, which is the people, supposedly. Don't ever confuse the government with the people or the government with the country. The government is a band of thugs over here, and the rest of us are over here. We're society. They are not the people at all. But anyway, so that's communism, where the government and supposedly the people own all the means of production. They own all the businesses and everything, and then it all gets distributed out evenly to the people, right? And these rich fat cats aren't getting rich anymore. That's the appeal of communism. Let us all have one purse. But if only those who had followed Lenin or Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot, Lenin and Stalin were leaders of the communist Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution, Mao was the communist leader of China, Pol Pot, communist leader of Cambodia. If these guys and all the other wicked communist leaders had read and heeded Solomon's warning and consented not, right? Remember what Proverbs 1:10 says? When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. So if those who had followed these wicked communist leaders had consented not and refrained their feet from their path, like Solomon says there in verse 15, my son, walk not thou in the way with them, and refrain thy foot from their path, then tens of millions of people's lives would have been spared. If the people in the Soviet Union, if the people in Cambodia, the people in China, the people in North Korea, and any number of Venezuela now, they've gone pretty well full-blown socialist communist, and in these countries, if these people would have just listened to Solomon's instruction, millions of lives would have been spared.
Isn't China a communist? Doesn't China have a communist government?
They are still. They're communist, certainly in name, but they're not truly communist because whenever you go to Walmart and you see that 90% of the stuff you buy is made in China, that's not a communist country. Communist countries produce nothing. Soviet Union. Sorry?
You don't see anything come from Russia.
Not too much. No. Russia's not really, they're not communist anymore, you know, but they're not a powerhouse like China is a manufacturing powerhouse. And so for that reason, you know, they're not really communist.
Why are they labeling themselves as communist?
The government has a real stranglehold on them and on the economy, but there's obviously a lot of commerce that's going on in China, and their citizens are getting wealthier. They're rivaling us as far as gross domestic product output and that kind of thing. So in a lot of ways, they're probably more free market than we are in some ways, because they're producing all the stuff. I mean, you go back to the Soviet Union, they produce a lot of cement, you know, and that's about all they could produce, and they weren't, they were poor as dirt, and so. But the, and I think, when did I go over the stats? Oh, it was in that sermon on gun control, I think, where we went through, I know Mao, under Mao and under Lenin and Stalin, under the communist Soviet Union, we saw how they took the guns away, and then all the people, all those millions of people were killed. So communism has a pretty sordid track record. Communists always promise equality for the masses, and they repeatedly make good on their pledge, for the masses invariably end up being equal indeed, sharing nothing. Everybody is equal, that's true. Everybody's dirt poor and starving to death. That's pretty much how it works. On the other hand, the rulers enjoy the national wealth for themselves, which they expropriated from the producers in society. And they enjoy that until there's no more suckers to screw, basically, and then everybody gets poor. I like what George Orwell said in his book Animal Farm, which was a parody of what happened in the Soviet Union under communism, under Lenin and then Stalin. He says there, all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And that's pretty much how communism works. We're all equal, comrade. We're all in this together. Only the people that are running the show at the top, they tend to be nice and fat and flourishing. Like, look over in North Korea. Poor people in North Korea are starving to death. And Kim Jong-un is about this big around. He's about 250 pounds or something. He ain't starving to death, right? What's his name? Chavez and Morado down there in Venezuela, when the people down there are shooting dogs on the street so that they can stay alive. Old Morado, he's not having any trouble. He's fat and flourishing. That's how it works. Even a communistic system of shared profits set up by the most well-meaning of men will fail because of human nature. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us have one purse. I mean, even if we were all, we just decided that let's just do this. You know, we're all just going to, we're going to band together here in Excelsior Springs. We're all going to take care of each other, and we all have good intentions. It ain't going to work. Doesn't matter. Even in the church, it wouldn't work. I don't even care if you had a church of the most holy, pious saints you can imagine. I guarantee you, if you had a communal living system where everybody just put their money in together and everybody that had need took it out, it is not going to work, because you know what? We still have a fallen human nature.
No. That thing they tried in the church at Jerusalem, I remember many years ago, Ben had a Bible study with 4 points, and I remember, one, people didn't have to do it. It was voluntary, but it failed.
Mm-hmm.
That was another point of the four.
That's
I
right.
remember, too, but they tried that.
Or yeah.
some form of it.
Right, yeah, you're stealing my sermon here.
Oh,
that's okay. Yeah, I'm actually going to make those exact points here in just a second. No, that's good. Human nature always looks out for itself and is inclined to avoid the pain of labor and enjoy the fruits of others when possible. That's just human nature. If somebody will do something for you and you don't have to do it yourself, well then most people are just going to say, yeah, let's do that. When profit is not proportional to labor, the incentive to work is diminished. So if you work X amount and you don't receive what you should have for your labor, then you're not going to want to work anymore, right? So if you have a system in which everybody works and everybody gets out the same amount, then why would I work hard? Why would I try to work harder? Because I'm never going to get any more out. So I figure, you know what, I'm just going to stop working hard. And then everybody else says, well, I'm going to stop working hard too. And then eventually everybody stops working and everybody's poor. The pilgrims who landed at Plymouth Rock in the 17th century and 1600s, they learned that lesson the hard way. And these were Christian Puritan people. I mean, these are, you know, probably some pretty good godly people, I suppose. And at first they tried a communal system where they all worked and gathered food and growed food, and then they shared the produce equally. That was the deal. Everybody, we're just going to work hard, we're going to plant all our crops, and then we're all just going to share the produce equally. Well, that lasted a year until they almost starved to death. And then if I remember right, the man that was in charge of the pilgrims, forget his name, now it escapes me. Anyway, then he, what was it?
It's not John Smith.
different?
No, that was a different guy. I forgot. But anyway, he said, okay, everybody would have to work as hard as he worked, basically. So none of this slacking off stuff. Every one of you, you're going to work at least as hard as I work. And it still didn't work. And he finally just said, you know what? Every man for himself, private property, everybody's got their own plot. And if you are going to live off of whatever you make, and if you don't make enough, you're going to starve. And then, boy, they started prospering. Imagine that. The early Jerusalem church, as Judy just mentioned there, tried this system of communal living. If you look in Acts 2, 44 through 45. Acts 2, 43 through 45. So the Jerusalem church had just grown by like, you know, over 3,000 people. And it says, and all that believed, so these are all the church members here, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So they were sharing everything. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. So it sounds like a good idea that, hey, we're all in this thing together. And some of us are more wealthy than others. We'll sell our possessions and we'll give to those that need. But you know what? It didn't work out. I want you to notice there are a few things about this system. Number one, as Judy stole from me, God did not command them to do it. Number one, you don't see they did this, but you don't see, thus saith the Lord, own everything communally and sell your stuff and give to the poor or something. God didn't say that. Number two, it was voluntary to distribute one's goods, not compulsory. And we know that from Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5, verse 4. Ananias and Sapphira sold their land, but they kept back part of the price and tried to make it sound like they were given the whole thing, but they weren't. And Peter says in verse 4, whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So he says, when it remained, it was yours. The land was yours when you had it. Nobody's forcing you to give it up. After you sold it and you got the money, it's in your own power. You can do with it whatever you want. You could have given all the money. You could have given 10% of it, or 50% of it, or 75% of it. You could have done whatever you wanted. Or you could have kept it all for yourself. He's saying it was in your own power. So this was not a forced system. It wasn't compulsory. It was people voluntarily giving to help support the community. And thirdly, it doesn't appear to have worked out very well for them, because we read a little bit later that a dearth came into Jerusalem. And, you know, dearths come and go. I mean, you know, you have famines sometime. And if you've been living wisely and laying up and you get some food laid up, you get some money laid up or whatever, then you can weather through a famine, or you can weather through a hard time. But if you've been living communally and nobody has anything, then when a dearth comes, then you're in big trouble. Acts 11 and verse 29 says, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. So of all the places, and I don't know if this dearth, I mean, it was quite a dearth. I think it was, look at this. Look at the previous verse. And in these days, this is interesting, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. That's verse 27. Verse 28, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. The dearth was throughout all the world, and people in other churches take up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem, in Judea. But those guys were going through the dearth too, in Corinth and Achaia and the other places where Paul writes and tells them to be laying up in store. And when I get there, you know, I don't want any gatherings. You lay it up on the first day of the week. I'm going to come. We're going to get this money. We're going to take it to the poor saints in Jerusalem. And he writes to the Corinthians about that in both epistles. So when they take up the collection, though, it goes to Judea. Why is that? Maybe because they were all a bunch of communists trying to live together, sharing everything, and it doesn't work. Look at Romans 15 and verse 26. And these guys were no doubt well-intentioned, good, godly people, but it doesn't work. Romans 15, 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Poor saints at Jerusalem. You just think about it. If you had a shared system, unless you had two people that had the identical view of money and spending money, and none of us do, right? Some people are more frugal than others, but you even take two people that are frugal, and we got different ideas about spending money. And we might, I might be frugal in one area, and you might be more frugal in another area. Well, when you everybody starts dipping out of the same person, and like, well, wait a minute, you don't need money for that. I mean, you don't need money for that. And I mean, it would be a total disaster. You can just imagine what it would be like.
Just like our ice cream thing.
We have in our house. That's, you know, we've when we get one container of ice cream to share, and we're both dipping out of it, it goes a lot faster than whenever we get two, and we each have our own. We have private property. And it doesn't go nearly as fast because you're not trying to eat it all quickly before somebody else gets to it. We found that out.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
He gets more ice cream.
It's ice cream.
It's ice cream. He gets more ice cream.
Different flavor problem.
We have changed it, though. It's like we get two tubs a month.
Yeah. Yeah, so just once. It doesn't last very long. So we eat high on the hog for about 3 days, and then it's gone for the rest of the month. But
oh, not me.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, the person that eats theirs first, then the other one's looking at him like, are you going to share yours? Nope. No, anyway, communism doesn't work, even when it comes to ice cream. Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs 1 again. We're going to get the second half of that verse. Cast in thy lot among us. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. A lot is an object. It's applied usually to a piece of wood, used in a widely diffused ancient method of deciding disputes, dividing plunder or property, selecting persons for an office or duty, etc., by an appeal to chance or to divine agent or the divine agency supposed to be concerned in the results of chance. The quote lots, each bearing the special mark of one of the competitors, were placed in a receptacle in Homeric Greece, a helmet. According to Greek procedure, the vessel was shaken, the winning lot being that which fell out first. In Scandinavia, the winning lot was drawn out by an uninterested party. So that's kind of a good way of solving disputes, especially when they're not real serious things. You just draw straws, as it were. You know, you draw, you know, you put names in a hat and you just have somebody reach in there and draw one out, and that's how you can decide on things. I don't recommend doing this whenever it comes to major life decisions or serious things or whatever. That's really dumb, right? But if it's just something, I remember hearing, Pastor Mott said one time when he was in a church down south in the Primitive Baptist Church, I don't know what the issue was, but it was some issue and the church was trying to decide on, and they had a different method of church, you know, government down there. But anyway, he didn't really care, and it came down, I think he was the deciding vote, and he just didn't want to tick off half the congregation or the other half, and so he like drew a lot basically and did it that way, which is kind of wise because it says that the lot causeth contentions to cease, it says in the Bible. So sometimes it works out. In our house, we don't do lots, but we do rock, paper, scissors when it comes to trivial, silly things like deciding whatever we're going to do that night or something.
Where are we going to eat out?
So, yeah, so we do rock, paper, scissors. Unfortunately, it doesn't cause contention to cease, though, because then the loser gets mad about it and wants to do best out of three or something like that. You know? So it doesn't really... I'm not mentioning names. I'm not mentioning names here. But, so anyway. But when a man casts in a lot with others, he's taking a chance, right? You cast in a lot, you're taking a chance. I mean, a lot is chance by definition. So these socialists, therefore, are letting the poor unwitting dupes know that they are taking a gamble by joining themselves with them. Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. You are taking a gamble here. Unfortunately, many are too simple to recognize that. So the very nature of a lot demands that when it is drawn to divide the plunder, the result is going to be inequality. It's not going to be equality. Because when you draw a lot, chances are somebody gets whatever's under consideration, right? It's not like you draw lots and everybody gets equally, because if the idea was that everybody gets equal dispersion, You just divide it by whatever the number of people is, and everybody get the exact same amount. You don't draw lots, right, to have equality. So some there should be some red flags going off here whenever communists tell us to cast in thy lot among us and we're all going to have one purse. Right? They're telling you something here. Like I said, if equality was the goal, a simple division equation would suffice. Just like at a casino where the odds are always in favor of the house, so it is when you're making deals with collectivists. Probability predicts a loss. When you're dealing with communists, you're going to lose. So I'd say if the blood of millions in the last century is not reason enough to keep the simple-minded from joining those who want to all have one purse, then hopefully at least the wise warnings of Solomon will be. Because this certainly is gaining ground again. People have such short memories. Because people, after the collapse of the Soviet Union and whenever it actually came out, like the horrors that were happening over there, even the left pretty much couldn't apologize for them anymore. And people really had a disdain for communism. People in your generation that remember that and were there for that, the idea of communism, I mean, that's a very bad word. But nowadays, it's a popular thing to be a democratic socialist, like Bernie Sanders. What's a democratic socialist? He's just a socialist where everybody gets together and votes in socialism or whatever, but still socialism. And so anyway, I wish more people would consider Solomon's words and consent thou not.